With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Psalm 85, and we're looking at verse number 6, where the Word of God said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And from this verse of Scripture, we've been looking at the thought of revival for several days. I said to you, first of all, we want to look at the need of revival. And then second, we want to look at the nature of revival that is needed. And then thirdly, we want to look at the necessity of revival. It's revival or ruin. It's repent or perish for our churches, for our country, and for our culture. And I said to you that the need of revival is manifest in three different areas. First of all, it is manifest in our culture. The culture that you and I live in cries out, we need a revival. We need a move of God. We need a stirring of God, an intervention of God into the affairs of our culture. Then second, after we finish looking at the need of revival manifest in our culture, we're going to look at the need of revival manifest in our country. And then thirdly, we'll look at the need of revival manifest in our churches. I have taken my time and just tried to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obedient to His leadership. And that's what I intend to do as we continue this study. I pointed out to you thus far that the culture that you and I live in cries out, we need a revival. And I said to you, it is manifest, first of all, in the drug problems that we have in our country. And then I said to you, number two, it is manifest by the drinking problem that we have in our country. I do not believe anyone would argue with me that the drug situation and the drinking situation in our culture is almost at the point of being an epidemic in our society. Drugs have destroyed and are destroying so many of our young people. And the blood of young people and old alike have stained the highways of our countryside because of drunken driving. Many homes are torn apart by drugs and by drinking. Many even tonight will cry themselves to sleep over a wayward son, a wayward daughter, a wayward spouse who has been overtaken by the power of drugs or by the power of drinking or by both of them. And I could spend another broadcast dealing with it because of the heaviness that it lays upon my heart. But I want to move on today to the third thought in our study and say not only is the need of revival manifest by the drug problem in our society and by the drinking problem in our culture, but thirdly, the need of revival is manifest by the dress problem that we have in our culture. Now, friend, don't get mad at me and turn me off, but listen to me. We, in the history of our country, have never seen a generation expose their nakedness as is the generation that we are living in now. From exposing the breast to the mini skirts to the slits to showing the midriff, oh, everywhere you turn, there is flesh and nakedness revealed in the culture that you and I are living in. And I know people don't like to talk about it, but this Bible has much to say about exposing our nakedness. So we'll look in the Word of God and see what God says about it and get as much from the Scriptures as we can on the broadcast today. Let me just remind you that the first time in the Bible that nakedness is mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 25. You see, before the curse and the fall of man, Adam and Eve wore no clothes. The Bible said in verse number 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You see, they were not in a state of holiness. They were in a state of innocence, just like a little one-year-old baby boy or girl. You can start to change a diaper, leave them alone a moment, and it does not matter who's around. They'll get up and run around with no clothes on, with no guilt whatsoever, because they have not reached that stage of knowing good from evil. And that's the way Adam and Eve was in the garden before the fall. And so they were innocent in their nakedness there. When they sinned, they saw that they were naked, and the Bible said that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover their nakedness. When God came on the scene, God did not like their fig leaf aprons, and so the Lord God killed two animals and made two coats and clothed Adam and Eve. From the very beginning, God manifests that he disapproves of nakedness. And so we see here the first occasion of nakedness, how God feels about it, and what God did about it in Genesis chapter number 3. And then I want you to notice the second time that you find nakedness mentioned in the Word of God is in the book of Genesis chapter number 9. And this is associated with Noah and his drunkenness. The Bible said in verse number 21, and he drank wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tents. And I said to you, because of the drunkenness and because of the nakedness of Noah, his son Ham comes in and sees his father's nakedness. And the Bible said that because of this, that there was a curse put upon the son of Ham, whose name was Canaan, and all his generations after him. So I want to say again, God hates nakedness. It brings judgment, and it brings a curse of God when it is exposed to others. Then I want to go to the book of Matthew chapter number 5, verses 27 and verse number 28, where the Bible said, you have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But in verse number 28, Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now listen to me, dear ladies. Here the Bible says that if you show dress yourself and you reveal your nakedness in such a manner that a man looks at you and lusts after you, then God said, both of you, the man and the woman, are guilty of committing adultery in your heart. You dress like that, so he would look. So that means you've got a wicked heart. And then he looks, and that means he's got a wicked heart. And so God said that both of them were guilty. He hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we see that God condemns nakedness and women adorning or dressing or undressing themselves in such a manner that it causes a man to look and to lust. The Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves. How? The Bible said in modest apparel. And of course, modest apparel is apparel that does not draw attention to one from the opposite gender. The Bible said that the lady is to dress herself with shamefacedness. She is to realize that she has a body that can be a temptation to a man. And with her body, she can cause a man to sin. And so she is to adorn herself, not exposing what she's got, but with shamefacedness and sobriety. And God said she is to dress herself in such a manner that becometh women professing godliness with good works. They're not supposed to see her nakedness. They're supposed to see the grace of God and the glory of God in her life. And I want to say to you, dear friend, the woman that will go the route of the harlot, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The Bible said again in Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 26 and verse number 27, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I want to say again, friend, God hates nakedness, and God wants women to adorn themselves in such a manner that does not attract the attention of the opposite gender. You remember over in the book of Luke, chapter number 8, there's a man that lives among the tombs. And the Bible said that he wore no clothes. He was possessed with devils. But the Bible teaches us when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. And the Bible said that they found the young man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, because of the effect and the force of evil spirits in our generation, many people are blinded to the fact of their nakedness. And they're as it was in the church of Laodicea. They know not that they are naked. But I want to say again, God hates it. It will bring the judgment of God upon you. Oh, turn to God today. When you get close to God, then you'll want to put some clothes on that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my time is gone. We'll continue tomorrow. The Lord willing, Father, take the word. Use it to your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. As you look at the calendar, you see we're approaching Thanksgiving, and that means camp meeting time once again here at the Faith Baptist Camp. Let me invite you to make plans to join with us. We begin on Sunday evening on the 23rd of November, and we'll go through Friday night, the 28th. We're located at Resaca, Georgia. That's about 45 miles south of Chattanooga and about 70 miles north of Atlanta, just off Interstate 75. Pastor Sammy Allen, the folk of the Concord Baptist Church, invite you to join us for a great week. And then remember, I need to hear from you. Take the time out today, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.